You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Over the years, we have had a custom here in our show that we have this gathering and we discuss aspects of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And there's no question that there are many thoughts, concepts, and ideas that eventually found their way to the Seder table of our people here in the shul and in the community. I have been very reluctant in the past few years to accept the invitation to participate each year. Baruch Hashem, we have Rabbanim, we have people who have the ability to be able to convey concepts and ideas. And for me, it is not easy anymore to do it. But nonetheless, I feel that before Pesach especially, when the koyach of the dibur becomes actually liberated, speaking of the Gaon, we just heard, the Gaon says that when you have chayrus, when you have liberation, you have freedom, and you take people out of the condition of slavery, and you give them the ability to do what they want to do, and they have to do. So the Gaon also mentions the fact that this Chag HaChairos is a yontif when the power of speech has been liberated and the power of speech has been given to us and we are able once again to express ourselves. And so perhaps it is that which drives me as much as anything else. There is a story told, Rabbi Neuberger was good enough to mention the fact that he had heard this vart at my table. And it's a pleasure to be able to have somebody who sits at your table, not just to eat, but also to listen. For some crazy reason, I reminded myself of a story that was told about a group of joke writers. They were wits, and they got together one evening at a party, and they decided they were going to save time. And instead of telling the stories and the jokes, they said, we'll just mention the number. And the number, we all know what that number refers to. So one of them said number 73, so some of them laughed. He said number 16, a number of them chuckled. And then one of them said number 35, and silence. So he said, well, how come you're so quiet, you didn't laugh? So he said, look, he says, number 35 happens to be a terrific joke. It's just the way you said it. The nice thing is to have at your table a person who not only repeats what you said, but says it right, and says it properly. And for that, I'm thankful to you. Thank you very much. How many years were the Jews in bondage? And it's a good question. How many years did they actually serve as slaves in Mitzrayim? If you know your Chumash, you know that in Parshas Bo, we have the answer. It says, the number of years that the Jews were in Egypt and served as slaves, 30 shana ve'arba me'ah shana, 430. And yet, when we are asked this question, and when a child is asked the question at the Seder, and this isn't a bad question to ask the child, do you know how many years our forefathers were in bondage in Mitzrayim? So here you have it in Parshas Bo, 430 years. And then it says that the Leil Shimurim, and this is the Laila Hazeh, and this is the Leil Shimurim, and this is the night that we were waiting for. 430 years. Somebody gave me a number of years ago a very interesting Haggadah. And this Haggadah had been put together by a very fine Rav in the Rosh Yeshiva, and he called it Marbe L'Saper, and he has a few gematrios there. Now, the gematria that I am interested in conveying and sharing with you this evening is simply one gematria. He points out that when the world was created, Yesh Miayin, something from nothing. So it says, what was the world like until then? Until then, the Torah tells us, Tohu v'vohu. It was desolate and it was empty, formless. Tohu v'vohu. So he says, what is the gematria of those two words? Tohu v'vohu. Tohu v'vohu is exactly 430. So, it's the preface, it's the beginning. Before we came to the actual Geula, there had to be a preface. There had to be an introduction. And that preface is what I just mentioned to you now. For some strange reason, in the Hashgachas Hashem, there were two creations in the history of mankind and in the history of our people and in the history of humanity. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it was his will to create a world. Do you ever stop to ask yourself, why was it necessary? Did he really need this world? Why did he feel that it was important for him to be Bora Olam, to create a world? Was it the Tohu v'vohu that bothered him so much? And therefore he had to become a Yotzer and a Bore. He had to take and create from nothingness. He created a world. And so he points out that the creation from nothingness, the creation of substance, of reality, from that which never existed before, happened twice. It happened when the world was created, and it also happened when the Jewish people were created. Because the creation of the Jewish people is as great a miracle and as an unusual kind of a Yesh Miayin, from nothing, you create a people. You create a nation. Can you imagine? To create a nation, to create a people from a horde of slaves. And can we really wonder what was the purpose and what was the motivation and what was the reason that the Rabbeinu Shlomo did this? The gematria that Tohu Vavohu is the gematria exactly of the 430, which is the same number of years that we were being fashioned, because the fashioning of a people and the creation of a people and the forming of a people had to have those years in order to be able to shape the world into a substantive world and the Am Yisrael into a people, into a nation. But you must begin with the Tohu and Vohu. First you start with the Tohu and the Vohu. Rashi says, in Bereishis, what's Tohu Vavohu? So Rashi says, Adam Tohe, a person marvels and wonders, Al Matzav Bohu. He marvels and wonders at the condition of what we call Bohu. Because we're so used to the idea that we can only relate to that which has form and shape. We relate to something that has substance. It's hard for us to imagine and for us to be able somehow, just in our imagination, to create something. It's very difficult. The average person needs a model for everything. The average person needs something that he can touch, that he can taste, that he can smell. He has to be able to use the various senses that were given to him in order for him to be able to relate to something. In other words, it has to be substance. He marvels and wonders, how could there have been a period of time when the only thing that you had was Vohu? Tohu Vavohu. 430 years were the formative years of creating an Am Yisrael. Just like there were years that had to precede the formation and the shaping of a world. Because basically, what he is saying is, and the one want to spend a little time that discusses this at length is Rav Shamshon Lefor Hirsch. Rav Shamshon Lefor Hirsch also talks about the idea of the creation of Am Yisrael was a creation no different than the creation of the world itself. It was from nothingness came our beautiful, beautiful world. And from nothingness came an Am Yisrael. And an Am Yisrael is so special. The Am Yisrael came from that Kur HaBaza. It came from the years that they spent in Egypt, and even before they came to Mitzrayim. It started actually where? When? It started from the time of a Lavan. Lavan bikesh lachor es hakol. Lavan's intent was that he wanted to uproot the development and the creation of the Am Yisrael. And in the Bris Ben Apsari, if you look very carefully, you will see nowhere in the Bris Ben Apsari does the Torah tell us a name of a nation that's going to enslave us. Nowhere in Bris Ben Apsari does the Torah tell us prophetically where are we going to be in that Golus before we come to Eretz Yisrael. It could be any place. It doesn't have to be Mitzrayim. It could be any place. And Be'emes, we could have fulfilled the prophecy and the forecast of the Bris Ben Apsorim just by remaining in the house of Lavan. It would have been enough to do the following. A Yaakov Avinu goes to the house of his uncle. A Yaakov Avinu goes to Beis Lavan, and there he marries four women. And from them come the Yud Beis Shvatim, the 12 tribes. And it could have been the fulfillment of the Bris Ben Hapsor just being there. And you might say that wouldn't have been bad. Maybe it would have been better if we would have spent and we would have fulfilled the prophecy with a grandfather rather than with a parent. Maybe it would have been easier and there would have been less persecution and there would have been less of Avodas Perech with a Lavan than there was ultimately with a parent. Maybe it would have been better. But God in his infinite wisdom said, no, the one thing I'm not going to let you do is to become a people that is formed and shaped in the house of your own family, in the house of your own grandfather. Even though it could have been fulfilled in that way. Question, why did it have to be Dafka in Mitzrayim rather than in Aram Naharaim? Why did it have to be there?
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
And the answer is, everything is an inyan of hachona, of preparation. And you have to prepare, and there is hachana, and there has to be a maisa bereshis, a new creation. And the new creation has to start from scratch. It's not going to start in the house of a lover. The new creation is going to start dafka in an environment, in a surrounding where you are able to fashion and shape a yesh miyai, substance, something that is meaning, and something that is going to be historic, and that's going to be created by you yourself, not by anybody else. It's not going to be a case where your father or grandfather or an uncle or a member of your mishpacha is going to help you form and shape the actual substance of your people, of a nation. There's a beautiful vault from the Kotzka. Kotzka says, when God created Adam, when God created man, at the beginning of creation, so what did he say? He said, Nase Adam. Who was he talking to? Nase Adam. Let us make Adam. And so the answer the Kotzka says is, when he says Nase Adam, he's talking to Adam. He's saying to man, you and I are going to create Adam. Adam is not just going to be created because I'm going to ordain that there should be a species called a human being. A human being can only be created by a human being. And that human being that does what he has to do in the creation of Doros after Doros after Doros, and it's his responsibility. He has to do it. Because basically what he is doing, he is taking from a tohu uvohu, from nothingness, and he is creating that which is substantive, and that which is exciting, and that which is a mystery, and how it's going to work out, we don't know. You know, the simcha that we feel when a baby is born, amazing thing. Why do we feel so excited and so filled with joy and happiness when a baby comes into the world? The truth is, we look at that baby and it's tiny, it's helpless, it's totally dependent, totally and utterly dependent. And the independence comes later. A people also had to be created that way. When you have a people that goes through a period of servitude, of aftus, then psychologically their mind frame and their mindset is one where they cannot think on their own and for themselves. Rabbi Yeshiver Soloveitchik wrote many essays about this. And in a new edition of the Chumash, which was put together simply by gathering the lectures and the writings of HaRav Soloveitchik Zatzal. So he talks about the ceremony of the Pesach meal. Talks about the Pesach meal. And he says the Pesach meal in the Torah is not one that you ordered from your favorite caterer or that you got a personal chef or that you looked in the newspaper to see where the best prices are. The original Pesach meal centered around the Korban Pesach. That's the meal. And the Korban Pesach had a purpose, and that was to create the emergence of what he calls a new chesed community. A chesed community. Because he says chesed in itself is characteristic only of a free person. you were to be challenged, define for me the difference between a slave and a ben chorin. Describe for me, if you can, in their actions and attitudes, the difference between a eved and a ben chorin. Describe it for me. So he says that a eved is concerned only for one thing, for himself. And not only is he concerned for himself, but he has no concept of what the challenge of time is. Time is simply something that passes. Time is something that you have to get rid of as quickly as possible, so that after the time has passed, now you can rest. Now you can take care of your own basic selfish needs. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. That's the beginning of Pesach. The beginning of Pesach is, this month of Nisan is for you. And that is simply saying that Zman, that time, is in your hand to shape and to do with it as you understand and see fit. And so he says, a slave is insecure, he's fearful, what is he going to have tomorrow? He is filled with shame and humiliation, and he doesn't understand what it means to share with others what he possesses. That's ultimately an eved. An eved basically cannot bring himself to share or to give. To share and to give. For that, you have to be a free person, a free human being. Therefore, stop and think. Stop and consider that the very first action and the very first mitzvah in the whole Torah, and the Torah is called a Torah's chesed. That's what the Torah is. And the Rabbein Shalom created a world. I ask you, why did he create the world? Chazal tell us he created the world because he wanted to have the ability to do chesed and kindness with others. Imagine. So you create a world. And you create a world just that you should have people and living creatures, and that you should have those who are dependent upon you and whom you can help. And what is Am Yisrael? Am Yisrael was created for the same reason. Am Yisrael was created because they are Baishonim, Rachmonim, Gom Chasod. And the rest of the world cannot really grasp that completely. And so, he says the following. He says, to begin a Yontif of Pesach, you start with the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is what we call the Paschal Lamb. And a Eved has no interest in sacrifice. Slaves who have just come out of the house of bondage, Hagav Soloveitchik writes, to emerge from their isolation and self-centeredness, have to learn to become a chesed community. So now you know why. That the very first halachos, when it comes to Pesach, the very first halachas, is to give more schritim. Give more schritim. And that's the way the halachas of Pesach begin. And that a seder begins with what words? Kol dichvin yesi beyisach. Kol ditzrich. Is there anyone here who needs help? Come, I invite you. Whoever needs assistance, come, I'll help you, I'll give it to you. We don't begin with the Declaration of Independence. We don't begin with a statement of historic weight. We begin simply with an extended hand and invitation. The door is open. Come in. Come in. Because that ultimately is the test of a free man. An eved, a slave, can never relate to that. Only a ben chorin can relate to that. And therefore, tohu vavohu preceded form, shape, discipline, creation. That was tohu vavohu. That was the 430 years that were formless, had no shape, had no form to it. And then you went through the Avdus of Mitzrayim and learned how to shed from yourself everything that an Eved is. You're going to be the opposite. You're going to be a Ben Chorin. And to be a Ben Chorin means that you say to others, come and join me. Be with me. We will have a chevra. We will have a chevra. And it's the only carbon where you must have the invitation and the inclusion from the very beginning. You cannot simply take from the carbon and give it to a person. He has to be lemenuyov. You have to include him. He was counted from the very beginning. And that is the Korban Pesach. And that is the key to be able to enter into a condition, a historic condition, of being and living and working together with others. And that ultimately is chayrus. That ultimately is freedom. There is no freedom otherwise. And so when we sit down to the Seder, we talk and begin by saying, Olach ma'anya, here, it's the bread of poverty. Or it's the bread sh'onan alav dvorim habe. There's so many stories for us to tell you because of this bread. But you should also know that we cannot begin to tell you a story of Avodim Hayinu until we tell you from the very, very beginning, from the very outset, we have to tell you and warn you that we are now B'nai Chorin, and as B'nai Chorin, we are sharing with others, and we are inviting you to join us. And that is the ultimate freedom. That is the ultimate freedom. And that really is the theme of Pesach. The theme of Pesach is one of inclusion, not exclusion. The theme of Pesach is the theme where we say to one another, you are part of me. And the world was created because the Ben Shlomo wanted to do chesed. And he you were created because you have to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do chesed with others. You are a community of chesed, and it's the only way that you have the raison d'etre. It is the only reason for you to exist is if you are a community of chesed. I wish you all...
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.